Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved. There I was with the old man, stranded again, so off I'd ran. A young world crashing around me, no possibility of getting what I need.
That's Ann Wilson singing. That's her sister Nancy on the guitar behind her. That's the group Heart, bringing us back. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. 17 till the hour. Thanks for being part of my day. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and the one for my book, The Third Ingredient, with the number three, thethirdingredient.com. Cliff Etico is our guest, our good friend, longtime Brain Trust member, small business attorney, tax expert, author of many books, including the eBay Seller's Tax and Legal Book, also the Crowdfunding Handbook, and the other one, the one from way back there. I've got a copy of it here somewhere. I think somebody's borrowed it. What was it, the first one, Cliff?
And yeah, it was called Money Hunt. It was PBS television show from the
90s. That's right. There you go. Yeah. That, people will remember that. So, Cliff,
the
we're talking about
Shark Tank show.
Yeah, only that one was a good one as opposed to the one they have now. And so,
well, thank you, bud.
No, anyway, don't get me started on Shark Tank. Anyway, so I'm glad you're here, and we're talking about buying a business, folks. And Cliff was pointing out some of the due diligence things that you've got to pay attention to when you're going to buy a business. The one of the things that you have to find out is how to justify the price that's being asked, and how to know what to come back and offer based on what the business will perform. One of the real challenges when you're buying a small business is being able to, the seller, deliver to you records, financial records that you feel you can count on. What do you think, Cliff?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I mean, you know, even if you tear them apart, you can't always be sure what's going on. That's why I suggested working on the business. Another trick, which I recommend to my clients, if you're really not sure the seller is playing fair on you, base your purchase price on the tax returns, because that's the lowest possible amount of money that this business is making. But then offer the seller what we call an equity kicker. And here's how an equity kicker works. You pay the seller at the closing. You give him whatever cash he wants up front. You sign the promissory note where you agree to pay him, you know, the rest over a period of 3 to 5 years. But then on top of them, you agree that you set an average sales figure each month based on the tax returns, and you say that if the monthly sales exceed 125% of that number, whatever on the tax returns, the seller will get 10 to 20% of that excess amount. And you can make these numbers up if you want to. Mm-hmm. It can be 110%. The idea is, if the business is routinely performing better than what the tax returns say, the seller gets a piece of that. So he is getting a piece of what the business is actually performing. Yet it doesn't look like you're overpaying for the business. If the business doesn't perform better than what's on the tax returns, then the seller's not getting anything more than what they're due.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very fair resolution to that. And most sellers will, you know, they'll fight over the numbers, but most sellers will agree to that because they know what you're trying to do here. You're trying to be fair to them. And you're offering them a piece of that upside.
One of the things that will happen when they show you their tax returns is then they'll walk you out into the warehouse and show you their inventory, which is probably a whole lot more stuff there than the tax returns will show, because that's how they protect their taxes. I mean, I knew a guy one time who would take his own inventory, and he wouldn't tell his accountant how much inventory he had until the accountant told him how much taxes he owed.
Yeah, right.
Because the more inventory you wind up with, that you got to pay taxes on that, folks. Inventory is taxable, and it's part of the income, and so as you accumulate over the year, and so you got to be careful with all that. The seller, small business sellers, will play games with you, not because they're mean or hateful or dishonest or whatever. It's just that they really don't understand, most small business sellers don't understand how to prepare a business for sale and how you're going to have to look at it to be able to buy it. What do you think, Cliff?
Yeah. Well, first of all, the purchase price should be based on all the assets of the business. If you're in a business where inventory is significant, like a liquor store is a good example of that,
yep.
What a lot of people will do is they'll do an actual physical inventory 2 or 3 days before the closing, and they'll adjust the purchase price upwards or downwards depending on what's actually there.
And also, Cliff, you got to stick this in there. Yeah. When you take that inventory, you have to – you can't just count. You have to appraise the inventory to make sure what's current, what is obsolete, what is damaged, what has been there for 35 years. You can't count that, even though the seller will count that. You got to pull that out. If they show you $100,000 worth of inventory, you probably only want to pay for about half of that. What do you think?
Of course, with a liquor store, that doesn't apply, does it? The older the stuff, the better it gets, right? Anyway, hey, listen, I found a 56-year-old bottle of scotch in my mother's closet when we cleaned her out, when she went into the nursing home. Let me tell
you,
I could have gotten a fortune.
Yeah.
Anyway, but seriously, no, you're right. You got to check the inventory. You got to really kick the tires. But here's the other thing, too, and this is the last thing, too. You always want to make sure that when you buy a business, you buy the assets of the business. You never buy the stock in the seller's company, unless there's a really compelling reason to do that. There are some times when you're buying a business that has a very important government license. So, for example, a couple of years ago, I had a client who was buying a medical equipment business, with wheelchairs, crutches, that kind of stuff. And those people have licenses from Medicare to offer Medicare discounts. And that Medicare license is probably the most valuable asset in the entire business.
The licenses... Also, the lease, you got to make sure the lease of the property, if they're, you got to get that going. And you're right. You got to make sure that you, and I think you just did it. You recommend that they buy the assets, not the stock.
Buy the assets.
Because the stock is what we're going to talk about next, folks. The reasons why you got to be careful buying the stock. Right back with Cliff Inico, 10 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. SucceedingInYourBusiness.com. That's his website.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.